Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda.
You are feeling very confident. That's a hint for today. Meet Keith Blakemore Noble.
Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have Keith Blakemore Noble. Keith is from Elgin, Scotland, and he has a really interesting passion. He is a hypnotist, a best-selling author, an international speaker, and confidence alchemist at The Confidence Alchemist. And what does he do? He helps you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. So before we get started, Keith, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Lynette. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Now, you know, we do start the show with a meaningful passage. Do you have one to share?
I do, yes. I have to confess, it's a quote that I came up with quite some time ago, but it really does underpin, I think, everything that I do.
And I think my guests' ideas are equally as important than complete strangers, so I value that you came up with your own quote.
Ah, thank you. Thank you. Quote of the day, it is, change your mind, change your life.
Okay, tell us how you connect to that.
Okay, so the way I connect with that is so many times we want to change things that are going on in our lives. And we might sort of go, oh, I wish I had a better job, or I wish I could find a partner, or this, that, or whatever. But the only way to actually change what's happening to us is when we change our mind. Because everything that happens in life, everything that we do, everything we experience, it's all down to how we, in our minds, are representing the world, how we're interpreting the world, how we choose to act in response to what we're experiencing. And even the things that we see aren't what's there. We see how we perceive the world, which is also based on our way of thinking. I'll give you a very quick example of that. Have you ever been in a situation where you've bought a car, and all of a sudden, you see several of that exact make, model, and color of car on the roads?
All the time. That happens to me all the time.
Exactly. Did all those cars suddenly appear? No, they didn't. You're now aware of them because part of your mind has changed because you've now got that car. So you're kind of aware of that car, which means you kind of spot more of that car. And it's the same with anything else that we do in life. If you're going through life thinking, oh, I'm poor, I can never succeed, I'll never be any good, that's exactly what you're going to get. When you change your mind, so you change your whole mind to, I am good enough, I can succeed, things can turn out right for me, I can make the best of every opportunity, then you start seeing more of these opportunities because your mind's now attuned for that. You then start seeing success because your mind is looking for success. You start seeing these little successes and noticing them, and they build up. Before you know it, you're achieving the sorts of things that you wanted to achieve. So your life has changed because you changed your mind. So change your mind, change your life.
I love it because, you know what? I'm a firm believer that, you know, and Anthony Robbins, Dr. Dyer, Deepak Chopra, everybody always talks about the fact that you need to program your mind to achieve what you want to achieve. And you're really just saying that same thing.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like when you search the web, you search your web with your favorite search engine, whatever you look for is what you're going to find. And it's the same with life. We go through life. There's so much information that's bombarding our senses the whole time. We couldn't possibly cope with all of it. So our minds filters through everything and brings the bits that it thinks are relevant to us. So again, with the car example, in the past, that make, model, and color of car was irrelevant to you. Now, all of a sudden, because you've got that, it has become relevant to you. So you start noticing it. And likewise, if you're going through life thinking, I'm a failure, you're going to be looking for everything that shows that you fail. And you know what? If you look for failures in something you do, you will find them. If you look for successes in something you do, you will find them, because they both exist. Just like on the internet, everything you could possibly want exists. But when you're searching for failure, that's what you spot. When you're change your mind, so you're searching for success, you start seeing the evidence of successes, and they start building up. Just like on your search engine on your computer, if you search for success, you'll find success. If you search for failure, what are you going to find?
So you and I connected because I thought hypnotism, wow, that is a crazy, cool passion. And I want to find out more about this. And then as I started to really look into what you're doing, hypnotism is a passion of yours, but it's the end result, which is raising people's confidence, and is how you use it, right? So can you tell us, what is your passion exactly, and how did it begin for you?
Great question. You're absolutely right. Hypnotism has been a passion and an interest to me for a long time. Something I'd completely forgotten about. My sister actually reminded me of this. When I was about 12 or so, I used to go around pretending that I could hypnotize people. I'd completely forgotten about this, but I used to go around pretending I could hypnotize people. And I was saying, you know, one day I'm going to find out how hypnosis works. I'm going to be able to do this for real. And life does what it normally does, gets in the way. And I went through school, went through university, developed a career in IT, of all things. I'll cover that at some other point. But the interest in hypnosis lay dormant for quite some time, until I stumbled upon NLP. And I started learning NLP and hypnosis. And that really reinvigorated my interest in it. From that really kicked me off into what I do now, which is helping other people when they're stuck. They're although I was very successful in my career, I was really stuck in many other ways. And it was using these tools I was able to transform my situation, turn the things that I was scared of into actually my greatest strengths. And that's what I'm really passionate about, helping other people, that they know what they want to do, but there's just something that's holding them back. They're scared of whatever it is. It may be scared of success. It may be scared of speaking with strangers. It may be scared of stepping up, saying, hey, I can do that, whatever it is. So it's about helping people to get rid of those fears, so that they can then become the people they truly are. They can let the world see who they are. And hypnosis, it's great fun. And I also use it a little bit for entertainment in stage shows. Hypnosis and magic is a separate thing, just to indulge in my hobby a bit. But really, using hypnosis, it's a tool to help people to make these transformations. And that is where I've discovered my real passion.
And see, the thing is, Keith, that this show is all about interviewing people who have a passion and have integrated into their lives. So let's say you were in IT and you just had this fascination still with, you know, hypnosis, and you just developed that and started doing parties with it because, like you just said, it's a hobby that you enjoy. You know, for my listeners, that would be great. Even if they just moved in a direction and included something back into their lives that gives them some kind of excitement. I love that. And then the thing is, you took that to the next level. And NLP is neuro-linguistic programming, which is coaching programs for people in the United States or other places who may not be familiar with that. And so you took it and you combined these two interests and you're changing lives with it. And I just really want my audience to hear what you're saying and hear the excitement and the passion in your voice and to say, you know, you are doing something you truly enjoy now, where before, when you were in IT doing what you were supposed to be doing or felt like you were supposed to be doing, you were stuck, like you said.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just give you a very, very quick overview of how I went from IT to doing what I do now. I was doing very well in IT. I became a fellow of the British Computer Society, which is about as high as you can get in that society without being Bill Gates. I did apply to be Bill Gates, but I was told that position was already taken, so I had to stick with being me. So I was doing really, really well in IT, but I had this problem: confidence. or rather a severe lack of confidence. I was absolutely terrified of speaking with strangers, meeting new people. You can imagine the effect that had on my social life. What social life? It was also holding me back professionally. I couldn't go to seminars where you'd find out all the latest developments, because when you look at the agenda on the seminar, all of it looked good apart from that first line, which used to literally make me break out into cold sweat. The first line, registration and coffee. Oh.
Well, you know, I don't think it's uncommon for people in the IT field to go into IT because they don't want to interact with a lot of people.
Exactly. But that's fine to a certain level. But there comes a time when, for your career to progress, or for you outside of work to progress, you got to start speaking with strangers. For me, it all came to a head. I was talked into going to a Christmas party where I kind of knew all the people from speaking with them online. And I thought, how hard can it be? And the answer is, it turned out to be very hard, because I ended up locking myself in the toilet, had a 20-minute panic attack, full panic attack, heart palpitations, sweating, hyperventilating a lot. I then fled the building, ran all the way to the train station, didn't even stop to pick up my coat because that would have meant speaking to someone. I loved that coat as well. I've never seen it again. It's such a shame.
Oh, no.
But I know, right?
Wow.
But it was at that point that I sort of said to myself, you know, you cannot go through life like this anymore. You cannot carry on like this, because where's it going to take you? This is awful. You have to change, and you have to decide right here, right now, to make that change. As luck would have it, a friend dragged me, almost kicking and screaming, dragged me to a weekend event, which turned out to be a weekend seminar by somebody who's become a good friend of mine, Chris Howard, who was big into training NLP and hypnosis and those sorts of tools. So I sort of thought, I could maybe learn this stuff and use it to fix me. That was all I was thinking. I'll use it to fix me, to crack my confidence issues. So I signed up with him, did all of his trainings, cracked my confidence stuff, cracked a few other phobias as well, which was a bonus. And as I was going through it, you're working in pairs or groups of threes, doing the stuff with each other. And every time, the person I was working with would say, "Oh, you're good at this." I was thinking, "Oh, that's very kind of you to say. So you're very good too." But after a few weeks of that, you sort of get to thinking, everyone is saying this to me, and I notice they're not really saying it to many of the others. Maybe there's something in this. I don't know. I went back to work afterwards, told friends what I'd done. A few of them were saying, "Oh, can you help me with spiders? Can you help me with this, that, the other?" So I said, "Yeah, sure." Did the stuff. Every single one of them were going, "Wow, that's made a huge difference." And it reached the point where I was thinking, you know what, I'm kind of fed up with IT. I've been doing this for 20 years now, fed up of it. Don't know what else I could do. Thought about going into coaching. Couldn't afford to give up the day job. And a massive stroke of luck, the company I was working with decided to make my position redundant. So because I'd been there for so long, it was basically, "Here's a wheelbarrow full of cash. Don't come back."
Ooh. And I don't believe in luck, but go ahead.
Yeah. So it's like, all right. So I could either carry on and look for another job in IT, or I could just take that plunge. And that's how I ended up where I am now. And, you know, I say it was a massive stroke of luck. I think what you're saying is right. There is no such thing as luck. It's, as it says, luck is opportunity meets preparation. And if I hadn't gone through all the NLP and hypnosis trainings, if I hadn't decided that I quite enjoy coaching, then that redundancy would have come along and I'd have just ended up getting another job in IT. So you're right. It's the right situation at the right time. And because everything I'd brought to it, it allowed me to then pursue this other career. And that's how I ended up where I am now.
And I believe it's just all your life process, all of your dots connecting, and this is exactly where you're supposed to be. And, you know, I also believe that life purpose is a feeling that you have and not a role that you're in, and that this feeling that is just overflowing from you right now is exactly where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing. So when you say, because usually I ask my guests right about that time, you know, did you have any hesitations or challenges? Then it sounds like what you were saying is, yes, I had hesitations and challenges, but I was kind of, and you know, Keith, I feel sometimes I'm pushed, you know, I am pushed into what I'm supposed to be doing because it is the opportune time. And if I don't do it now, I am a fool, right? And
yep.
Sounds like you had that same kind of thing. So how did you start your business though? And did you have challenges or hesitations actually taking that first step?
Oh, I had massive hesitations because by that stage, I'd got myself a nice house with a garden and a reasonably comfortable lifestyle. Had myself a nice car. I was thinking, I don't want to give all this stuff up. And if I go into coaching, what happens if I get it wrong? What happens if I don't make a success? What happens if I don't succeed? I'm going to lose the house. I'm going to lose the car. These are things that I've really worked hard for years. So I had all of those hesitations, those challenges. And I suspect many people listening will have experienced similar sorts of things when they're contemplating a change. Oh, but what if it doesn't work? What if I get it wrong?
This is me right now. This is exactly me, right? I left teaching and I have an established lifestyle.
Mm.
You know, so I have it all on the table right now. I hear you.
Yeah. But the thing that happened for me was fortunately I got that break with the redundancy. And also about a year or so later, so I'd had enough time to try to start my business and to fail and make several mistakes along the way, which is good actually, because it's by making these, when we make mistakes, that's when we learn far more than when things go right. So I was already learning lots of things that I needed to know, or identifying lots of areas where I needed to make changes so that I could actually get out there and help people. And at that point, I got the opportunity to go out to Bali it was originally going to be for a few months on an internship. And that turned into 2 years. And as a result of that, I ended up teaching and training and speaking and teaching people NLP and hypnosis in the Far East, in Indonesia, Singapore, Malaysia, Vietnam. Having a great time out there.
Wait. The person who had a panic attack at a party is an international coach and speaker now.
Yep.
Awesome. Love it.
It's because I'd got rid of those things that were holding me back that allowed me to be really me. And I mean, I have no problem now getting up on stage in front of 800 people, 1,000 people. I don't have any script or anything. I know what I'm going to talk about. I know the key points. But we then just have a conversation, whether it's just a half-hour intro to something or whether it's a one-week training. It's interacting with the audience. Absolutely love it. And I mentioned earlier that I also now do a few hypnosis magic shows. That was kind of came about by accident. But again, it's just such great fun getting there, performing for people. The reason I started with the magic side of it was I did a bit of street hypnosis where you basically walk up to somebody in the street and say, hey, I'm a hypnotist. Do you want to be hypnotized? No, wait, come back. Stop running away. Because that's a scary thing for people. So I started developing some card tricks. And now it's, hey, do you want to see a trick? Show them a card trick, which is something people are comfortable with. You then start to build up rapport with them and gradually move on and on and on. So it's, I don't suppose you'd fancy being hypnotized, would you? Yeah, bring it on. All right. That's using a lot of the tools, the techniques, the processes, which I share with my clients when they're on coaching, particularly around the confidence stuff. You get rid of your shyness, for example, or overcome your fear of talking to strangers. Hey, I can speak to strangers now. Yeah. Oh, well, what do I say? How do I interact? Because when you've been terrified of speaking with strangers, you never learn all of those things. So that's where coaching comes in on the back end to really help you build up where you're going. The challenge I had previously of not wanting to give up my house, when this opportunity to go out to Bali came along, it's like, huh, how can I make this work? Right, sell the car, sell the house, sell all the stuff. And just, so it's – and the reason I was so happy to go from, oh, I don't want to lose the house to, right, let's sell it all, move out, was because bam, it was hitting exactly what I was passionate about, going out there, helping people to transform their life around. So I still had the same challenges as I would have done anyway. The challenges and obstacles of building up the business. How do you get clients? How do you connect with people? How do you help people to know that you can help them? Still had all of those, but it had gone from being I've got to be careful to, I love this. I will do whatever it takes to make this work. So that's what happens when you really get passionate and your passion comes through. Things which were obstacles now just become that's gone, that's dealt with, sorted, next, let's go for it, which is why following passion is such an important thing, and which is why I feel it's so really, really sad is the word I'm going to use, but it's really sad when somebody has all of these passions, these things they want to do, but they just lacking the confidence, or they got some fears that's holding them back, so they don't get to really, really let themselves loose in it and really go for what they're wanting to do. And I mean, there's people think, oh, people who are stars or people who succeed, they're really confident in things. That's not always the case. And if we got time, there's a couple of short stories that I'd love to share with you and your listeners that really show that is not the case. It's people succeed in spite of their fears rather than because they don't have any fear.
No, I would love to hear those stories. And, you know, I understand that material possessions just start to mean less because you're so passionate about what you want to go do. And that's exactly where I'm at right now. And my husband is in complete support because, you know, he's getting to the end of his career, a couple more years, and, you know, we can both be doing what we want. So, you know, he pushed me out the door and said, no, you are done teaching. You are not happy, you know, and you want to be out and about and living out in the world. Mm. And you're not right now, you're confined. So it's just amazing how we are willing to sacrifice the material things in order to make these things happen. And I'd love to hear a story. Go ahead.
All righty. Well, whenever I talk with people about confidence, there's normally two or three things that I talk about. One is, particularly with when we're scared of strangers or anything like that, where does all that come from? Four little words which we're told when we're young, and I'm willing to bet that you were told these words. I'm willing to bet every listener has heard these four words when you were really young. Don't talk to strangers.
I never listened.
Good for you.
Look at me now. I'm talking to you. Well,
and there are few stranger than me. This is true.
But that is true, though. I mean, obviously, you know, everybody has been told that, and we tell our kids that.
When we tell them that, it serves a very, very powerful protective measure. It's safeguarding them. But often when we tell them, it doesn't come across as, you know what, don't talk to strangers. It comes across as, don't talk to strangers, because if you talk to strangers, they will kill you to death, and mummy and daddy will be awfully upset, and it'll all be your fault. So, oh my God. How are you ever going to talk to a stranger? And you know what? When was the last time your parents or whoever said to you, you know what, Lynette, you're big enough and grown up enough now, you can talk to strangers? We never get told that. So it's no wonder so many people get stuck with that, I can't talk to strangers. And then we keep comparing what's going on inside us with what we see outside with other people. Like, I remember I was in an exam at school, and I was thinking, okay, turn over the first question. Question one, don't know, I'll come back to that. Question two, I'll come back to that. And so it went till I got to the end of the paper. I was going, I don't know the answers. I can't think of anything. So panic starting to rise, looking around, see my classmates, they were all busy writing stuff down. I was thinking, oh man, they know all the answers. I can't think of anything. Oh, I'm going to fail this. And the panic starts. I don't know if you've ever been in that sort of situation. You know, the reality is, if I'd been able to get into their mind, they would have been going something like, oh, I can't think of the answer to any of these. Oh no, I've got to get something down. Well, if I just start writing down anything I can think of, something will come. I might get a few marks here and there. So they looked as though they were confident and coming up with all the answers. But if you look inside, they're feeling pretty much the same as you are. And so often in life, we compare people's outside with our inside. Do you remember the singer from the 80s, Gary Numan?
Oh, no, I don't.
That's all right. I'm showing my age now. Don't worry. But
well, I should know somebody from the 80s. Where was he from?
He was British. He did have success around the world, but perhaps not as large success as I'd thought he might have had in America.
It could totally just be me.
it could be just not the style of music that you're into. His music was very electronic, all synth backgrounds and all that sort of stuff. When he was on stage, and this is the story that I've been building up to. I hope it's worth it after all this. when he was on stage, between each song, he would just stand perfectly still, staring straight at the audience, not moving a muscle. And people who watched his performances would all remark, wow, such a powerful presence to be able to just stand there with the whole audience staring at you and just outstare them, stare them back, not moving. That takes a lot of confidence to be able to do that. So they all thought he was massively powerful, massively confident, or so you'd think. But I remember reading an interview with Gary many, many years later, and he was saying that what actually happened there was he was petrified. He was all right while he was singing because his mind was occupied with singing and getting the next lines and so on. So he was fine. But when the song finished and there was the pause before the next song started, he was thinking, what do I do? What should I do now? The next song's coming up, but what do I do until that starts? And he basically just froze solid. So he was feeling terrified, but everybody looking at him was thinking, such confidence there. And that is something that's so important for us to realize in life. When we see people who are really confident or who appear to be really confident, we assume we could never do what they're doing because they're confident and we're not. But in actual fact, if you were to be able to go inside their head, they are going to have just the same sort of problems, the same fears that you have.
And, you know, you made a really good point about talking to strangers. And at what point, you know, as adults, can we transition into having conversations and reaching out to people who we don't know? And I know that so many people do have that mentality still, because I can't tell you how many people I know ask me, well, where do you get your show guests from? Well, I have to reach out to strangers. You know, that. And of course, at first I had to reach out. First, I started with people that I knew. And then I got to a point where I had to reach out to strangers. I reached out to you. You were a stranger. Majority of my guests are recommended to me or reach out to me now. But I reached out to somebody this morning who reached back. So, I mean, if you see somebody who's cool in life, reach out to them, you know? And as far as confidence goes, trust me when I tell you, people assume that I am so confident. I have plenty of insecurities, plenty of self-doubts. We talk about that on the show a lot. I think, Keith, you would agree, the goal, though, is acknowledge that you have them and keep moving forward.
Yep, definitely. Until you acknowledge that you have a problem or a fear or an issue, until you acknowledge it, you cannot do anything about overcoming it. So you're right. The key is acknowledge, hey, I'm shy. I find it very difficult to approach people under these circumstances. Or, hey, I have a phobia of X, Y, and Z, and that's stopping me from doing what I want to do. It's time to change. It's time to do something about it. So recognizing you've got that and acknowledging it, you're right, is the very first step, and it's perhaps the most important step of all.
So what do you think you've learned about yourself in this history of yours and this process and this adventure you've been on?
Ooh, great question. I think there's probably a couple of things that I've learned about myself. One of the things is, and I feel this is applicable to everyone, is that there's always more to learn. There are always going to be challenges. There are always going to be problems. There are always going to be obstacles. But the fact that you're going to have these obstacles doesn't mean you shouldn't do something. It just means you're going to have a different set of obstacles, a different set of problems. For example, in my earlier days when I was terrified of speaking to strangers, I had the problem of, well, I can't go to parties, I can't go and meet people, I can't go to networking events or whatever, because I can't speak to strangers. Now, speaking with strangers, not a problem at all. I absolutely love it. Now I've got problems like, well, I can't go to all three networking events in the same day. Which is the one which is going to give me the greatest opportunity? Which is the one that's going to help me serve people more? Or it's even things like with this show. In the past, the problem I would have had would have been, oh, I can't, no way could I have a chat with Lynette, even over Skype. No, that means speaking with someone I don't know for a half hour or whatever. Now the problem is more, okay, when can I fit that in amongst everything else that I'm doing? So you're always going to have different problems. And although I've got rid of so many fears, do I still have fears and things that hold me back? Absolutely. And I will until the day I die. But I am now able to recognize them and work on one at a time. Okay, what's the next one? What's the next most important one to deal with? So it's an ongoing journey. Don't expect to sort of like have half an hour and bam, everything is all perfect with the world. You'll have got rid of one problem. You're now in a better position to be able to deal with the next one and the next one and the next one and so on.
Well, when you talk about problems, of course, I always think a problem is a learning opportunity. But you make a really great point in my mind to say, okay, as an entrepreneur, as somebody who's started their own business, as somebody who's risking a lot, I could say to myself, that's too scary, right? These are, let's say, somebody would call problems, right? Mm-hmm. You have to worry about these things. You have to problem solve. However, if I did stay in a job that I didn't feel was fulfilling me, like if you had stayed in your IT job that was not fulfilling you, you would have had problems, right? You would have had issues to solve. But that scenario or those situations would not have been as exciting, as meaningful. They would have just been dragging you down. And so my point is that, yes, you're going to have issues that need to be resolved. You're going to have learning opportunities that are challenging. And of course, like you said, we learn from those most. But do you want to have them that you control, that you design, that, you know, is exciting, is meaningful, is fulfilling when you get through it? Or do you want, you know, to be under somebody else's control? You know, do you want to be having issues that you have to solve that even when they're resolved, you don't feel great about? You know, I feel like you're making that point here.
Absolutely, yes. And you're right. If I had stayed in IT, I would have had problems. And looking back on it, not kidding and not overstating or being overdramatic, but I suspect by now I probably would have been heading for a nervous breakdown. Looking back on how things were building up, the pressures and so on, I probably would have had a breakdown by now, which is in itself a pretty massive problem to have to deal with.
Keith, that just tells me that you were just, it was such a wrong fit for you, that you, your person
exactly,
needed
yeah.
something that was more human.
Mm. Now don't get me wrong. When I went into IT, I absolutely loved it. And the first 15, 16, 17 years, I thoroughly enjoyed. And then it sort of kind of started going bad for me. And I don't know whether that was because of the situation I was in, because of where I was, or whether it was simply, hey, I've been doing this for 17 years. I've kind of reached burnout now.
Can I take a guess?
Go for it.
I think it's because whatever skills that you have learned from your IT days that you are now using in this position that you are currently in, I feel you learned everything you needed from that point in time, that position in time. Your person changed. Your person got to a point where you couldn't do it anymore because it was time to shift. And you took those skills and you're applying it in a different realm now. That's what I think.
And you know what? That is entirely possible. In fact, one of the things I often say to people is when I tell them about the journey that I've had, and say, I spent 20 years upgrading and reprogramming computers. Now I help upgrade and reprogram people's minds. So I'm doing the same thing, but just with people instead of computers. And it's, which is in a very real sense, is very, very true. That is what I'm doing. Yeah.
I'm serious. I see themes in people's lives. When I talk to them, I see themes. And yes, I see exactly that with you.
Mm.
Now, is there some kind of resource or a book that you could recommend to my listeners?
Yeah. I'd like to recommend one book and one website, if I may.
Sure.
So the book is one of the book that I'm going to recommend. When I say the title of it, some people may go, "Oh, that one," because it's not a modern book. It's a relatively old book. But I strongly recommend everybody gets it and reads it. And if you have read it already, read it again, because it has so many applications, whether it's in personal development, whether you're looking at it from a manager point of view, from as a parent, as a salesperson. There's so much stuff in there that will really help. And the book, everyone's probably heard of it. It's How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie.
That's awesome. It's awesome.
I would recommend reading it. I do read it every couple of years just to top myself up on it and refresh myself. It's such a wonderful book. So I would definitely recommend that. And the website I'm going to recommend is theconfidencealchemist.com. And the reason I'm recommending it is because what I'm doing with that is I'm aiming to make that as useful a resource site as I can for people. I'm adding in a whole new section, which includes references to books, which people will find useful, including Dale Carnegie's book. I've got articles there and adding articles with tips about how you can start to overcome various confidence issues. Even things like with confidence and phobias, where do we get these things from? Hey, I've got a phobia. How did that happen? Because when we understand how easy it is to develop a phobia, for example, then we can appreciate why it is so easy to completely eliminate it, even though it seems such a massive thing. So there's all of these resources, and I'm constantly adding more stuff in there to make it as useful a resource as I possibly can for people. Basically, I'm turning it into what I would have wanted to have found when I was 20 years younger.
Excellent.
So that's the two resources I'd recommend as starting points.
Okay, excellent. Now, this part of the show is the Motivate Me Express to Success. So 60-second responses or less. So I believe what we're really talking about here is, I know your passion is hypnotism, but it's also confidence. So in order to transition from whether it is a position that they're in now to another position, or just transitioning from a person who is less confident to a person who is more confident, I believe there is three steps to making change. First, envisioning yourself in that role. Second, exploring what it would take. And then executing a plan. So what should they envision or see for themselves?
All right. So what should you envision to set you on the journey of greater confidence? Now, many people say, oh, picture what it's going to be like, vision what it's going to be like. I would be more focused than that. So yes, you're going to picture it, but you're going to be looking for specific things. What specifically would I look like if I was more confident? How would I be standing? What would my voice be like? Don't look at anything inside. How am I going to look from the outside? How are people going to see me differently if I was more confident? Start looking at those sorts of things, because when you hold yourself in a more confident way, people will assume you're more confident and they will act accordingly, and that will enable you to start to feel more confident.
So how do they explore this then?
Great ways to explore it would be to identify who are people who you perceive as being the sort of person you want to be. And then start reading about them. If you can, get hold of their autobiography. Really start to get inside their mind. Start to think how they think. Find how they think. Find how they deal with things. Because when you start to think the way Richard Branson thinks, for example, suddenly you start getting the sorts of results Richard Branson would have got in the same situation that you're in. So start really reading, if you can, autobiographies of people who you want to become. Really start modeling them.
That's really good. Okay, so then to execute a plan, what would the first baby step be?
The first baby step would be, I think, to say to yourself, do you want to change your life? Assuming the answer is yes, then you'd follow that up with a question to yourself, okay, what do I need to change about my mind first to enable me to change my life? What's the one little thing, just the one small step? What is that small step that I want to make? Is it just pretending to be a little bit more confident? If I pretend to be a little bit more confident, what's going to happen? Let's try it out. So ask yourself, do I want to change? Why do I want to change? What is one tiny little thing that I could do? It's not going to be massive, but what's one tiny little step that I could do? Because when you ask yourself, your mind already knows, your subconscious already knows what you need to do. Just ask it, what's that one tiny thing? I'm not going to do a whole lot, just tiny little thing. And go with what feels right. Go with what feels right.
Now, before I ask you to give listeners some closing advice, I'm curious, how do you use hypnosis to bolster confidence? How do you do that? What's the process?
All right. Well, hypnosis, all hypnosis is really doing is getting the person in trance, which, why do we do that? Well, what we're doing is we're getting the conscious mind out of the way, and we're getting, now I'm going to take a step back here and slightly technical. We've got the unconscious, which is the bit that controls everything we do. We've got the conscious, which processes. That's the bit that we're aware of. Then in between that, we've got this sort of filter. So things come in into the conscious, go through this filter into the unconscious. Now, this filter will accept things if they fit with what we believe or what we feel. It'll reject things if they don't fit with what we feel. So if I were working with the client who was not confident, we could talk for days about, you know, you are confident, you can do these things. When this happens, you can feel this. And they would, at the conscious level, go, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I get it. That makes sense. But that little filter is going to be going, that's not us. Nope, nope. And it's not going to go in. If we could get rid of that filter and just put everything directly into the unconscious, you are confident. You act in confident ways. The unconscious is going to go, Oh, okay, yeah, we act in confident ways. We do what confident people do. Right, yeah, I can do that, got it. So with hypnosis, what we're doing is getting people into trance, which basically occupies the conscious mind and gets rid of that filter so that we can then talk directly to their unconscious, and that's where we can start to make the change. It's the same when you're using NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. Effectively, you're speaking with the unconscious in its own language. So you're bypassing the conscious, you're bypassing that filter, talking directly with the unconscious and reprogramming. And hypnosis is simply another form of doing that. We're basically getting the person into a state whereby their filter is out of the way. You talk directly to their unconscious, tell them all these things. When you're meeting strangers, notice how exciting it feels that you're about to learn some new stuff. So that's the essence of what hypnosis is.
Okay, so your final thought for listeners today.
So my final thought would be to think about what kind of life do you want to have and what is holding you back? What is it that's holding you back? What's the life you want and why do you want it? And the reason I say that is when you have a strong enough reason to go for something, anything that was an obstacle now just becomes something that you're just going to brush out of the way. I go back to when I was starting out, I had the problems of, I don't want to lose the house, I don't want to lose the car, all these things. Then I had the opportunity to go out to Bali, which meant the only way I could do that was to get rid of everything. So suddenly, I don't want to lose the house being an obstacle to me doing something all of a sudden became, yeah, sell the house, get rid of all of these things, do all of that. I can now go out to Bali. And the reason I want to do that is because I get to work with this guy for a couple of years. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm going to learn so much. And that is the most important thing for me right now. That's why I got to do it. The barriers then disappear. So really get clear. What do you want? Why do you want it? What's that going to get for you? And then notice how those things which were barriers, they may still be there, but all of a sudden they become things which can be solved rather than things which will stop you forever.
Keith, such great information, and I really think it was super motivational for my listeners today because I know that everybody has different scenarios going on but can connect to so much of what you and I were discussing today.
Thank you so much, Lynette. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Let's make sure we give your contact information.
Okay, the best way to contact me or to connect with me is either through the website, theconfidencealchemist.com, or if you're on Facebook, find me on Facebook. Find my page, The Confidence Alchemist page on Facebook. Find me there. Like the page, connect with me there, and let's go.
And I'm also going to make you a part of our Motivate Me Ultimate Support System private group so you can keep in touch with listeners there if that sounds good to you.
You know what? That sounds excellent to me. I would genuinely love to connect with your listeners there. If they've got any questions as a result of what we've been talking about, put them in there. I will be more than delighted to answer any questions I possibly can.
And on Saturdays, feel free to promote whatever's going on your site so you could keep us in the loop that way, okay?
It's a deal. You got a deal.
All right. Thank you so much again. And that's the end of our show. What do you think they should go do right now today to get moving in this direction?
The go do is work out what I want, who's best to help me with this, and just connect with them right now. Don't say, I'll do it later. Just connect right now. Now is the only time you've got to do anything. So connect with them right now.
I like it. Right now, everybody. Don't wait. You should do it in the first 15 seconds. That's the end of the show. Thanks again, Keith. And remember, listeners, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.